Hey everybody, welcome to Surface Level, curious conversations about the Black and queer experience. I'm one of your hosts, Damon, and today, Jordan, Tony, and I are closing out Season 7 by answering questions directly from you, our Surface Level insiders. This is Beyond the Surface Level 7.
Wow. And we meet again.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Back around the merry-go-round.
At the end of the road. We're calling
it? It's more like the end of the road.
This is the end of the road.
It's so sad that we're not coming back for another season after this.
Your last scene and your last season.
I know. I cried on the way here. Just kidding.
Upset these people. They're going to be at your door knocking and beating the door down.
Mm-mm. Picketing and rioting.
All right. So we are a little tradition. We give out superlatives. It's like the end of the school year for Beyond the Surface Level. Mm-hmm. You ready?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm going to go with my gut on all of these. Well, I always do, but you know, especially today.
Pinch of fuel, shout out.
Especially today.
Okay. So going back to our first live episode, yeah. Black excellence is a scam. Mm-hmm. Most likely to gatekeep at work if they don't think the girls are on their level.
Damon.
I was gonna say you, bitch. I know you wise,
bitch. That's why I said you.
See, I'm not even going with your gut. You're a liar.
Well, I'm gonna say Jordan as well.
Okay.
You are not on my level, Nicole. You will never be on my level. Do not compare yourself to me.
I am warm and welcoming to all.
That's your next question. You believe that yourself. Is that something your camp wrote right. for you?
Our second episode, Losing My Mind. Most likely to read their resume back to themselves and go, yep, I'm a bad bitch.
Tony.
I would say Tony as well.
I was going to say me too.
No, you're all about the affirmation. You're all about like saying good things to yourself and
if
to
you
others.
If you want to feel good about yourself, have a conversation with Tony.
Okay. He's going to talk you up. This tracks.
Don't ask me. All right. So a fun one with, we had our parents on. So parents just don't understand too. Mm. With my mom Annette, Miss Teresa and Tony Major. So most likely to not believe anything bad that someone tells them about their child.
Most likely to not believe anything bad that someone tells them. I'm going to say Jordan.
Absolutely. You know it's you, bitch.
I don't know.
I ain't having no fucking kids. And
look, I was a very well-behaved child and very...
Allegedly.
Yeah, right. I was like, my mom will tell you that I was a very unproblematic child. I didn't cry much. So that explains why I'm so mild-mannered today.
And why you cry all the time now.
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't cry much.
I've been saving
You're getting
it out.
It out.
I've been saving it out.
Kids going to
like
be
waterworks over there.
Nuts. All right. So we did a Pride episode this season, Pride and Prejudice. Three parts. Most likely to go to the Pride March, a Pride party, or skip Pride altogether.
Most likely to go to the Pride party. Pride March
or just say skip. Less.
I feel like the answer is so clear.
I think it is too.
I think that Tony's going to the party, Damon's going to the march, and I ain't going to shit. Is that what y'all think?
That's what I
That's
thought.
Absolutely. That okay. tracks.
Next
tracks.
Case. Where them gavels at?
Right.
All right. So we had the stroll with Tabitha Gonzalez. Most likely to fill their beat and spontaneously walk a category at Open to All, aka OTA.
Tony.
Absolutely, Tony.
Why is it me? It's not you, Damon.
You have the most charisma.
Right,
space.
You're the first one to get out in there in front
I'm
of people.
I'm not about to get in front of all those people.
Damon's going to be dressed for it, though.
I'm going to be compete. Dressed. I'm just going to be
Damon's going to put his outfit on me. I'm going up there.
Gone.
Exactly.
Get on that runway.
And I'm going to record it. Edit the video.
You're the Kris Jenner.
You're doing great, sweetie.
You're doing great, sweetie. Where the fuck was I at? Butch Queen on the scene too with Joe, Micah, and Chuck.
Mm-hmm. What an episode.
Now this one has, I don't know, most likely to say they're coming, but stay right the fuck at home. Well, Damon. We know it's not Tony.
It's Damon.
Bitch, you don't leave the fucking house either. See, y'all full of shit.
No, I go out.
No, you don't.
You go out 20% of the time. I go out maybe 35-40% of the time.
I
definitely go out more.
Mm-mm.
Listen, Demonte, sign me up for it.
You got to pay attention.
And then literally, as early as the other day, put me on the list, but
I'm not. Bitch, you said the same thing.
No, I will be in attendance.
Yeah. So, only because that, never mind. All right. Black Excellence is a Scam 2 with Ebony K. Williams. Most likely to be on a reality show and quickly realize I fucking hate it here.
Tony.
Wait, I think it's you.
To realize you hate it here, because I don't know if I would hate it on the show.
We've had the experience of someone being on a reality show and realizing very quickly that they fucking hated it there.
Well, this is a real life situation. Well, that's why I'm saying it wouldn't be me, because I'm not getting on a reality TV show, because I realized it wasn't for me. Listen, but you were on it. Okay,
you kinda. Were in it.
I was in it. I was in the thought.
You were in it, not of it.
All right.
He said
more.
I was still debating while they were filming.
Unless it's a reality show with y'all, I can't do an ensemble cast with strangers.
Listen, they need to docu-series.
Complete strangers.
Because I can do it with y'all.
The point of like reality shows, like we've talked about earlier this season, like people are supposed to have a relationship prior.
Right.
But those are the ones that really work.
Yeah.
And a lot of these ones that are trying to be developed aren't working because these people don't know each other.
We'll be meeting them for the first time. I did watch the new New York girls. I enjoyed them.
I heard really? It was great. I enjoyed them.
They feel much more New York than them old bats did.
Good. I'm glad.
Thank you, Ebony. So Bad Bitches Only with our guest Obia. Most likely to ignore a poor personality flag on a date because they're distracted by a pretty face.
Tony.
I'm going to say Jordan. I'm gonna
wait,
say... Wait. To ignore a poor personality trait because they're distracted.
You're distracted by a pretty face.
Because if we just fucking, that's a different story.
Is this a date?
I could be on a date, but if my question says date. It
says date.
Well, then yeah, I'm not going to ignore. Like if the waiter comes and you're like rude and disrespectful to the waiter or waitress, I can't look past that.
Mm-mm, me neither.
So I guess that's none of us?
Nobody. Okay. That's fine. It's our show. All answers are fine.
We make the rules and
so
we break them.
So then the girls are fighting, most likely to cuss somebody out, throw hands, or call the police.
Well, I'm calling the police. I feel like you cussing people. Damon, you're cussing people out and throwing hands.
I'm going to cuss you out.
And
if
trying to kill you off of somebody.
I'm going to cuss you out. And if you don't respond to that, we might have to. I'm going to have to defend someone's honor.
And Tony's peeling you off. And then I'm running for cover to call the police and call reinforcements. To just make sure that I can get to my phone so that we're protected.
And then bonus, what are you all curious about?
I'm curious about the future of Surface Level LLC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the business side specifically.
Because this is a business. And I think that we're still up and coming, and it's a groundswell here, what's going on with Surface Level LLC. And so...
Is this your work voice?
It actually
Surface
is.
Surface Level
this
LLC.
Tony is still on the marketing meeting right now.
You did have a late meeting today. She just got out of a meeting like a half an hour ago.
So I'm really curious about how we continue to grow, what extensions are to come, how we can further integrate into the community. We've done several initiatives, if you will, participated in a lot of things outside of just sitting here at the table this season. And so I'm curious about how much more of that we can do, where we're going to go, how this is going to grow. And I'm going to stay curious, you know, the future. We're building this thing, but it's kind of like we're also in it and driving it.
Building the plane as we fly it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, is that problematic to say? Because
what I say?
Building the plane while flying it.
I think that phrase is still good to go.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah.
You can see it on the screen.
Oh, child. Yeah, that's where my head is. Like, if I was to answer that just on its face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious about how all of it is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when I say happen, I'm talking about day to day. I feel like all of us have had conversations at some point throughout the season of feeling like it's just so much going on. And so I just been so curious about, like, how are the other people who are managing basically two jobs doing it? And what tools and resources and habits are they implementing in their lives to be able to be present for both things, be present for friendships, relationships, family, and also still carve out time for yourself? It seems like that's been an ongoing mystery for me. So I'm curious to continue learning how to balance it all and be present for the important things.
That time management is son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about AI. Mm. I've thought about it a lot. It's a big part of this, like, SAG-AFTRA and Writers Guild strike conversations. I'm curious about what it does for the girls and their ability to critically think. It's a thing that I've been toying around that I'd love to figure out some type of episode around it and, like, the impact that it has on, like, industry and our lives. Like, it's the thing that I've thought about a lot recently. Mm-hmm. So.
Listen, why are you laughing?
Jordan's giving, like, get with it. You better get with it or get left behind.
Right. We're gonna do the episode later, but you know. The girls were saying the same thing when the TV came out and then when the internet came out. Now that, you know.
It becomes
generative AI is like the next evolution of technology. So I'm curious too. That'd be an interesting topic to explore.
The girls better become farmers because y'all ain't got no fucking jobs. If you keep feeding all your information into ChatGPT.
You know what I'm going to become? A funeral director.
The girls going to keep dying.
Because that is job stability. So, funeral home director is going to be my next.
You can be like Phaedra.
Yes. She was on to something.
Mm-hmm. I cannot be working in that office all the time. Okay, so every season we solicit a bunch of questions from our listeners, from people who, follow us on social media to give us their questions that they want us to answer. And so we're not going to discuss them all, but we're going to discuss quite a bit. And so I want to start here.
Make sure you say that out loud. We don't get to all of them. We want the girls getting upset with us in the comments.
We can't get to all of them. We believe in being concise with our episodes. This is not a 2-hour podcast, but you can find that somewhere else, I'm sure. Okay, so this insider wants to know, how, as a young queer person of color, do you manage the want and need of having a boyfriend because everyone else is so partnered? I feel alone sometimes, but there are other times when I don't want a boyfriend and enjoy being single. Any tips on how to navigate loneliness as a queer Black 22-year-old?
I'm curious about what is making you feel lonely. Is it because you see other people coupled up and so you feel like, I want someone, and so therefore, like, that has made you feel lonely? Or is it because you actually want to be in a relationship on your own accord, like, you've decided that's something that you want, not mm-hmm. just because you're seeing it, like monkey see, monkey do. Mm-hmm. And I think about when it comes to loneliness, I like to make sure that I am okay with being alone first and foremost. I think that's important.
Yeah.
You know, to have that time to just know that you are enough by yourself. However, yes, like having a partner can be great, can be beneficial, can add a lot to your life, but just make sure that you're whole and complete on your own before wanting to dive into a relationship because you see other folks doing it. Like, I'm the question begs more questions for me.
Yeah. You wanna
go? No, I was just gonna say, like, for me, me and my partner often say, like, we don't want our relationship to be like definitional, like this defining part of our lives. Like, we're individuals. Mm-hmm. We happen to be choosing to go on a journey where we're kind of side by side in it. But my loneliness or lack thereof is not dependent on him. My ability to enjoy myself is not dependent on him or any of my friends or anything like that. So I think it's more echoing what Tony said. Like, when you have and you find that joy on your own first, everything else is just extra.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's less of that feeling of, like, needing these other things when you search around, search for what completes you without anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. 'Cause that, and that goes to figuring out what are those things that make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have time to explore activities and, you know, that are above and beyond hanging out at the club or going to parties or just drinking or out to eat. Like, there's so much to do that we don't take the time to be like, oh, I want to go to a museum or art gallery or paint or what have you, whatever it is. There's so many things out there to get into and discover that. And then when you meet someone, you have some things that you know you like, and now you can share that with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the part that I'm kind of, that's kind of standing out to me in this question is sometimes I want a partner and sometimes I enjoy being single.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the person who submitted this question, I think it's okay to feel that way, first of all. And so I hope that you aren't putting too much pressure on yourself. Like, it's, you know, it shouldn't, like, finding a partner shouldn't feel like a checklist item, especially if you feel like, you know, hot and cold about it. I would recommend maybe approaching potential romantic situations with just kind of like an open heart, an open mind, and just seeing where it goes. And so you don't have to sacrifice one or the other. And to Damon's point, you may be able to find somebody who's also okay with being your partner, but also allowing you to get the whatever sensation of singleness that you like to have that as well in your life.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that later.
Are we not?
I don't want to spoil it.
Don't spoil it for me.
Spoil it.
But also, you know, I mean, to speak to the loneliness thing too, it's like, I want to be sensitive to that too, because I feel like we get quite a bit of messages where people say that they feel alone, just in general, like not even like in relation to a partner, but just friends as well.
They don't feel like they have community.
Right. And so if the question is asking, like, how do you deal with loneliness? And if your loneliness is a result of not having as much community, I would recommend maybe online communities. I know it's difficult sometimes to try to find like that community, like face to face, but online is a great way to connect with people who have shared interests and things like that. But yeah, you're 22 years old, so I'm hoping that you're not putting too much pressure on yourself to sort of be locked down, because these men will get on your damn nerves.
That's the other thing. The girls are so ready to rush into something that they're going to end up hating. Like, why did I ever want this?
Don't know.
Told you so.
Told you so.
All right. Next question. Why does Damon refer to his partner as a roommate?
I put that one in there.
Oh, was that your question?
That was me. No, it wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't believe in titles.
That is
like
a title.
I think it's a fun way of
roommate is a title, literally.
No, but like I don't mean to believe in titles and like ones that like are steeped in ownership. Like when I'm like, this is my boyfriend or my fiance, my this, then everybody puts all this like what they think that should be on it. Whereas like if you just like, this is my roommate, people's mind their own fucking business. Like nobody puts pressure on you for like what they think your relationship with your roommate should be. And I think, but like that's also how we want people to interact with us. Mm-hmm. Like your interaction with us is not based on Damon and partner. Your interaction is based on me as an individual. He is an individual in the same way that if you were at Tony's house talking to his roommates, you wouldn't be like, well, what did Tony think about what his roommate did? Like you, that's not your fucking business. So like,
so you came up with roommate so that you could send an external message to other people.
I came up with roommate because I think it's funny.
I can get behind that.
I think it's fucking funny, and we've never called each other boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
You've never heard me call
each other fiancés?
Partner.
Sometimes we say that. We like partner. Like if I use partner more than anything.
Well, I mean, is that like a result of age? Because, you know, sometimes people feel like when they get to a certain point, like the whole boyfriend term is like, I want to say partner instead. I realize that with like my friends who are like our age or like a little bit older, maybe.
But hetero folks, I realize that a little bit more.
Oh, I do too. I noticed
that like being more too. Older and having like a boyfriend. At girl, you 45. Like that, that's a whole topic.
No, it's well, not. That was
that's like I mean, a part, that's a question within a yeah, conversation.
I wondered if that had anything to do with it. Like, not do you feel like
for me, I know elementary? He never liked the term, but like it also, I didn't need to call him my anything for, especially when we were like getting to know each other and like yeah. when it was like newer. Like, I don't need to define you as something in relation to me. You're just.
Their
name. their name. Like, I would use their name. Like, I'm a Damon. I'm not my partner's boyfriend. I'm just Damon. Hi, this is Damon. Hi, this is person. That's how we introduce each other.
All right. All
right. Listen.
So.
You like it, I love it.
Speaking of Damon and his roommate, have certain dynamics changed now that one of you, being Damon, is getting married? So has anything changed between our dynamic because Damon is getting married?
Not for me, because like I don't think about marriage in some like very traditional sense at all. Like, I don't feel like I can't go out y'all now because I got a husband at home. That's fucking stupid. I would say the thing that is maybe a little different now is like there is a like, for instance, like I missed an episode of recording. Like, there was an emergency with my partner, and that's not something that, like, that's new. Like, normally it would be like, the only way I'd miss something would be because something happened to me, and now there's someone in my life who I think of as equally important when it comes to life scenarios like that, that I need to be there for. And I would say that's maybe the one difference, but, like, I don't feel like I'm a different bitch now.
Same bitch, different day.
Different day.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's any dynamic change. It's a momentous occasion that we're going to celebrate. But I don't feel like outside of doing the things to celebrate it happening, our dynamic has felt the same in the sense
like, of... Like, what am I supposed to do?
I mean, I think the dynamic has changed.
How so?
Why?
I think that, and not in a bad way, but I do think that you being with your partner, I can see like a change in you for the better. Like, I feel like in terms of like handling conversations that could be disagreements and stuff like that, I definitely feel like since you've been with this.
Huh? I cuss for you niggas out.
I think so. Okay. I think you feel a little bit softer now that you've been in this partnership. And so like it's when I talk about the dynamic, it's not like, you know, oh, like, you know, we never get to see Damon. Right. Although there will be times, and that just goes for all of us, that, you know, if we have other things or, you know, a relationship outside of our friendship, that we just have other things going on.
Yeah.
It's not like when we started the show in 2020 where we were all single. And we were like just hanging out in Damon's apartment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, our free time is a little bit more limited. But I think that it's been like better. I definitely feel like I'm seeing a softer side.
Mm-hmm. I'm really working on not cussing everybody out.
I can see the progress, love.
Child, I'm trying.
All right. So can you all talk a bit more about your relationships with your parents? You all have beautiful relationships now. Was there a time when you were more distant? How did you get the closeness back, and what do you share now, and what do you hold back now in your relationships with your parents?
Was a time that was more distant for, well, specifically, I'm going to talk about my father here because he was the one that was on the show. So when you say parents, we had one parent on the show, so that's the one that I'm going to choose to talk about. But my father, we had a... He was married to my mom. They were married for like 5 years and they divorced, and I was so young that I didn't even know that they were married that long when they divorced by the time like it was all said and done. So my father was really in and out of my life. My mother raised me primarily. My father was there to support in ways in which, I don't know, I would hang out with like my aunt Crystal, who's his sister, my grandmother, his mother, and he would be supporting in ways by like giving money and making sure that I was taken care of, and like through having them do the shopping, taking me out to do activities, etc. And so when I went to college, he was kind of absent as well, going through his own issues. Coming out of college is when I moved back to New York. And he lives in New York, and he saw me interacting with my Aunt Crystal and my grandmother and was like, I see a relationship dynamic there that I don't see with you and I, and I want that.
Yeah.
And he had a problem with that. It was an issue for him. And I had to sit him down and have a grown man conversation in which I had straight up told him that the reason he's feeling how he's feeling is because of, and the reason he's seeing the relationship that I have with his sister and his mother that he doesn't have with me is because of the time spent. So I realized then also that my love language is quality time. And mm-hmm. in order to have that sort of dynamic with me, it's going to require us spending time and really re-getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Now, I was in college for 4 years. I didn't really communicate with you much. Now that I'm out of college, you're still my dad, but it's given like, hey, girl. But that after that conversation, it really clicked for him. Yeah. And then we started doing like movie nights where we would like go, you know, out and see a movie once a month. We made sure we had a time on the calendar to spend, you know, dedicated time with one another each month. And that really helped shape the dynamic that we have today, which is a lot. It's come leaps and bounds where it was. It's a lot more playful. Like my friends have seen me and my dad around. He's very open minded, which I love. And so it's been, you know, that time has now been spent. I've been in New York now over a decade. And mm-hmm. so we've been building that relationship. So the dad, Tony Major, who you saw on that episode this season, is the product of 10 years of rebuilding. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a reconstruction era going on.
Mm. Yeah.
So now we have a solid foundation. And then he's also mm-hmm. always joking about like, I'm his only child. Mm-hmm. So he realizes he has a mother who's getting older, and he's realizing like taking care of a parent, what that looks like. And he's like, I need you to
pull up.
I need you to pull up. So let me make sure, son, come sit down with me. Let's, you know. And it's nice when he texts me now and he's like, you know, I want to see you. Like, I want to get together. I want to talk. Or when I talk to you, you help me. Like, I feel better when I like have someone to talk to that's, I'm unbiased. I mean, I love him, but I tell him like it is. I'm a straight shooter. So he gets that from me too. And back and vice versa. It's nice.
I never necessarily had a very distant part of my relationship with my parents. I think that when I first came out to them, we didn't necessarily talk about it for a while. Like, we spent 2 years ignoring it. And then I was just like, fuck it, we gonna talk about it and y'all gotta get over it. And I think that was, it's kind of how I enter most spaces, where it's just like, you gotta deal with it. I would say that my mother and my relationship has grown a lot over the last 3 years since my father passed away. I think my dad was for a long time my advocate and the person I would speak to first, particularly around my existence as a queer person. And then he was no longer here, and I think my mom, me, my siblings were all trying to figure out like what our family dynamic looks like without him physically being here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of just like, I would say, the openness that my mom had. Like, even listening to her talk, like, my mom, after my dad passed away, she started therapy for the first time in her life. And I think how she speaks today, a lot of it is a product of that, and just like giving tools and language that like I haven't heard her use until more recently. So I think that's been a big part of it. And I think hold back, like, I don't know, like, I don't like to create a bunch of hysteria in my family dynamics, and like sometimes I'm like less.
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to sharing things, I'm more thoughtful about time and place. And I'm also learning a lot more about my mom now. Like, my mom, how I've known her to be, particularly with my dad being there and him being the more like, always the more like soothing voice in our family, like, she's taking on parts of her own version of that now that she's like living life in just her space. So yeah, it's been a very interesting evolution, I would say, over the last few years. And just becoming more and more open about just our, my life, hers, what she's feeling, and so on. And I think it's interesting relearning who your parents are through the lens of adulthood.
Yes.
And having conversations that aren't about what I need from you or what you can train me on. And they're conversations that are more about the life I have lived, the life you have lived. How can we learn things from one another more so now? Yeah. So that's been an interesting shift, I would say, in our relationship.
Yeah. The relationship with my mom, I mean, we were very close growing up all through high school. I will say that when I got to college, like most college kids, I probably like talked to my mom less. I had more things going on. I was distracted by the big city of DC. And I think that, you know, after I came out, or after my mom, you know, was aware of my queerness, I do think that I sort of retreated a little bit in shame. And so I didn't necessarily bring it up much. And my mom also didn't really ask many questions. And I think over the years, we just didn't really acknowledge sort of my romantic life. Mm-hmm. And so as an adult who's taking care of themselves, like it didn't really leave too much room to talk about much else, because like I'm not talking to you about like filling out my FAFSA. You know
black folks,
you know, we
FAFSA.
Ain't good with that word
FAFSA. I'm like, FAFSA. That's not it, but it's FAFSA. Right.
So like my mom is like an incredible provider, and she's so like on it and detail oriented, and as a child I never had to think about something not being done. Mm-hmm. For me. But now that I, you know, I'm independent and I provide for myself, that leaves us with a lot of space to talk about the weather and my job. And so over the years, I felt like, you know, we kind of got distant as I was living in New York. And honestly, this podcast has helped open up the line of communication with my mother. Mm-hmm. I think that she saw me speaking openly about my queerness and openly about my relationships. And I think that that gave her the language to be able to ask me about things when I would go back home to visit. And I realized, like, even in the last couple of years, like, my mom will ask me who I'm dating. My mom will ask me when we gonna have some kids, when I'm gonna get some grandkids. And so we can have those conversations now. And I feel so much better about it because, like, I can actually talk to her about, like, my romantic life, which is what I prefer to talk about anyway, over these jobs, child, because she don't even know what I be doing. I be trying to tell her. She'd be like, sounds proud of you.
Right.
Sounds interesting. Love that for us. You
announce your pregnancy.
Huh?
You're announcing your pregnancy on.
Well, you know, that's in the third segment of tonight.
Okay.
So, you know, I have a reveal underneath here. All right. So the next question is, what is your wealth? Is it freedom? Is it pure happiness? Is it money? Is it peace of mind? Is it sex? What is your wealth?
Multiple things can be true. I feel like it's not just one thing for me. I like that list, actually.
How are you? Like, the answer is yes.
What is your wealth? Yes.
Like, I actually think all of these things: freedom, pure happiness, money, the financial aspect, peace of mind, sex, all of that ties back to what my wealth is. Mm-hmm. And what my well-being is. I do think if I was to put maybe one of those on the list, it's really like, I don't know, freedom and happiness kind of go hand in hand for me. To be free is to be happy for me. And so to much extent, I have freedom now. And I think that freedom has come from me living, standing, and speaking my truth and not having anything to hide. And so, yes, there's still things that will go on in my life, that there will be ups, there will be downs. But in the grand scheme of things, when I look back over my resume, like we said earlier, I'm that bitch. And so I have a level of freedom that I feel is pure happiness. And I'm no longer searching for that, but kind of going through a journey to build and increase upon it, if you will.
My answer is freedom. I think that it is the source of so many things that bring me joy. I think, and when I say freedom, I'm talking about in relationships, freedom to be who I am as I interact with people in my family, my friends, my partner, at work. Freedom to explore and learn new, I think that when you, I say this all the time, when you realize that there are no rules, you live a much more fulfilling life. You experience so much more. You learn so much more. You are so much more curious. And I think for me, everything starts from that place. If I'm engaging in this activity, does it still allow me to have the space to be free, to be who the fuck I am? And if it is not doing that, it is not something that I believe serves me. And therefore, it is not something that I'm attributing my wealth to, which was the question.
Yeah. Perfect. I don't have much to add there. Freedom. I mean, I just
want to freedom. To freedom.
The freedom to live the life that makes me happy. The freedom to have sex, the freedom to make money, the freedom to do all of this. All right, so the next question is, the queer community is supposed to be something more than our sexuality. Why are so many things at the pride parades sexual? They didn't put pride, but I'm assuming they were talking about pride when they said parades.
Mm-hmm. Can I? Okay. A few things. I think the flaw here is, one, calling pride a parade. Pride's a march, and it is a march based on people being marginalized for their sexuality. So therefore, if you are marching to in any way represent outwardly your sexuality, therein lies the answer.
Yeah. Like I was going to say, that's part of the liberation.
Right.
To do that. And so that is my answer.
Yeah. Like the literally the antonym of pride is shame, and we've been shamed for our sexuality. I'm talking about the part of the community that is queer in terms of sexuality. And so these moments to go out there and show your pride is to show, I don't give a fuck that you want to shame me about my sexuality. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show it. I'm going to wave the flag. You're going to see it. Mm-hmm. And fuck you if you have a problem with it.
And there are plenty of events. There are children's activities. There are churches that are queer accepting that have other types of events during Pride. But if we're speaking specifically to the Pride March, it grew out of liberation. Part of that being sexual liberation.
Yeah.
It's not a parade.
It's really tiring. It's like, oh, it's so sexual.
Like, don't have sex. It's like,
without sex, none of us would be here.
Do we want to go back to the time where sodomy was actually illegal?
Right.
That part.
So be happy that you can go out there and get your life and not go to jail.
Right.
In certain instances. Because, you know, there is public...
There are rules.
There are some rules.
Jordan told me I could do it.
I'm like, before you go out there and start and then getting Jordan it on my porch. Okay. So the next question is work burnout and how to recover. What happens if you can't?
Work burnout and how to recover. You just take the time you need. Like, you really have to make sure you're pouring into yourself, taking care of yourself, which we sometimes forget to make sure that we're doing as life is lifing and things are happening. You also have to speak up. No one's going to, they'll pile on everything. They'll, you know, it'll be an avalanche on top of you. It's up to you to actually speak up and be like, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's also like, use those fucking vacation days. They are part of your compensation package. Like, you wouldn't give back part of your paycheck. So stop giving back your vacation days. I work at a Swedish company right now. They take a whole fucking month. Everybody takes a month off in the summer. Mm-hmm. In addition to whatever other days they take off through the rest of the year. So like, there's this American culture. If I have to be here and if I grind long enough and I work enough hours, people will care. Mm-hmm. I was watching this clip of Carolyn Wanga, maybe? Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
The CEO of Essence. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, before you change your who, I mean, change your where before you change your who. And like, her whole point was that the biggest thing that can, like, I believe that can stifle you at work is like going into some space and pretending to be some person that you're not. And when you find spaces that appreciate who you are, then like, it becomes a little less cumbersome to do the work. And I think that that's very important. And I think it's important to evaluate, because you are, it's a contract between you and an employer. Mm-hmm. Like, you are deciding to be there and they are paying for your services. And I think when you think about that exchange that way, it becomes less of like, I need to be here for this and I have to work 1,000 fucking hours a day. Fuck that job. Fuck it.
I guess my answer would be...
work harder.
Nobody
wants to fucking work.
No, I was going to say, because I was actually going to go the route of speaking to people who may not work in a corporate space, who has vacation days and things like that. Maybe you are part of the gig economy, mm-hmm. and you do Uber after working at, a job that doesn't have many perks.
Yeah.
In those instances, I feel like burnout is inevitable because you're working literally around the clock and you're not making enough to cover your basic needs. And I think in those situations, it's really hard for me to give advice on that because I haven't lived that. But I think what might be helpful if you are experiencing burnout and you don't really have much free time is trying to figure out even small pockets of time where you're just sort of doing something that you love that doesn't require a lot of effort on your end. It could be something as simple as cooking. It could be something as simple as planting flowers in the backyard, but really allowing yourself to sort of just detach from life's expectations, even for 30 minutes. I think that might be able to sort of help with the side effects of being mentally taxed from constantly having to work. I feel like a lot of people are coming to this point and it's coming to a head, like just the fact that everyone works so much. And I think this is a very popular question, regardless of what working arrangement you have. But I think, Tony, is to your point of communicating your expectations. The job may not give a fuck about that, and that's a reality, but at least figuring out how to speak up for yourself, it may work in your benefit if you do. Finding time for you to do something that you love that isn't attached to, the capitalist society. So, yeah.
Yeah. So this person asks, and it's right on back to that old monogamy conversation. I would prefer monogamy, and that's it. Why does it feel like valuing that is somehow ultra conservative nowadays? I'll start.
Okay.
Let's check the board. So I think that, yeah, I mean, I can see why people who want monogamy could see how they might feel that people who are exploring more open formats are kind of like being like, I don't know, throwing monogamy by the wayside or saying like, girl, that's not realistic or what have you. Like, I feel like there are a lot of people nowadays exploring more open formats and just being more, I guess, giving that a chance for themselves where we weren't before. And so I hate that it has to be like a tit for tat type of thing, like monogamy versus non-monogamy, and like we gotta like collide, and it doesn't have to be that. Like, do you? I want you to do what's making you happy and fulfilled. I don't want to condemn you for not being open to exploring, but also I gotta watch your actions and see, like, you want monogamy, but you don't act like you want monogamy. What's the tea there? Because it's not the matter.
Everybody always want monogamy, and they would be cheating with your lying asses.
Yeah. So I mean, if it's something you want, then act like it.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I recognize what this person is saying right now. I've definitely have been, I've been on the monogamy train and have had comments about my decision. But I think that the part that you said, Tony, about like condemning people, I think that's what people need to take away. It's like, say what you want without condemning others. I think what happens so often is that some people assert that they're monogamous, and in the same breath, it's condemning non-monogamy. And sometimes I hear people advocating for non-monogamy or expressing non-monogamy and then condemning monogamy in the process. And it's just kind of like, there's a lot of people there. We go from asexual to polyamorous and then everything that we haven't even discovered yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that you just need to figure out what it is that you want. And you don't have to be right. You can mess up and figure it out along the way. But I think the important thing is to respect everyone's decision around how they want to live their lives sexually. And just watch your fucking mouth when you're talking about other people. There is no wrong or right way.
Right.
That's my opinion.
I I think a couple things. I find it exhausting when people say, like, everybody is pushing non-monogamy, when, like, the truth is the vast majority of people living in the Western, in Western society are monogamous. So, like, it's just, one, I think it's, like, a false statement when people make that. Like, that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I've talked about this. We talked about this on the premiere, too. And I was, when I say that, like, monogamy and traditional views in marriage are steeped in, like, patriarchy and heteronormative, whatever. It's not an opinion. Like, I think that's a fact. I think people should, like, read more about the history of marriage and of relationships. Like, the traditional sense of marriage was about property ownership and passing down property between men, because women couldn't own property. Women couldn't have credit cards until, like, 1974. Mm. Monogamy was around, like, having children and wanting to pass your name down and so on. So it was not this, like...
And having someone to take care of the home.
Right. So, exactly. And it's just, like, there. It's not something that's born out of two single individuals and they have all this love for each other and they want to build this life. So I think that it's important that when people say, when they do hear things that are in opposition to what we've been told is the way that we should be, to also think about the history of that. The history of it is based in ownership, in patriarchy, in men being in control and women not having rights. It's an interesting thing to talk about then within queer relationships, particularly queer relationships with cisgendered men. But like, I just think that in the conversation, people should like
do their reading.
It's less about, yeah, like I get really tired of having conversations with people about how they feel when I say that monogamy is steeped in patriarchy and heteronormativity. And I would love for people to actually like read more about the history of the thing. And then if you still choose to do it, that's fine. Like in the same way that we participate in capitalism, but we can't say that capitalism is not, doesn't have a history that's like steeped in slavery and all these other negative things. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's just the reality of what we choose to participate in. Mm-hmm. Like you can't ignore the history of something to participate in what you want your current reality to be. And I think that's the thing that I find annoying sometimes in this conversation, is that I'm having conversations with people about what they feel and less about like, what's the history of like mankind, how we think about relationships, what the history of marriage has been. And I think if people gave a little more thought to all those things, then the conversations would be a much more fruitful.
Yeah. So what is your take on compersion at this point? Being aside is fairly new, and most of us here prioritize penetration. How would you deal with your partner who all of a sudden decides that they are a side? Now, compersion is our wholehearted participation in the happiness of others, and is also the positive emotion one feels when one sees their partner involved with another person. It's often called the opposite of jealousy. So how do we feel about compersion?
I am not a side. I mean,
I also do not compert.
listen. I mean, the question is, what if your partner came out of nowhere? Is that the verbatim?
Yeah. What if your partner all of a sudden decided that they're a side?
Got you. Yeah. I want to talk through it. I want to understand it a bit more. Because all of a sudden sounds like we was not a side the other day,
mm-hmm.
but we're a side today. Mm-hmm. And so as somebody who, you know, doesn't identify as a side, that's now in a relationship with a side, I need to understand what's going on for them. And then also for me.
Yeah.
And for us.
Right.
And so I can be open to the idea of allowing them to just be happy with being a side. I just don't know what that looks like, honestly. I've never been confronted with that situation, but I will try to have an open mind.
I have a situation with someone who I've traditionally been involved with in penetrative sex, who now is in their side life, and I have a great fucking time with them.
Don't figure.
Who knew? So it's like, I just think that if you are open to people's sexuality as what they tell you it is and not what you think it should be, you learn a lot more. And that was a lesson I've learned recently.
Listen, If you decide all of a sudden that, what can I compare to this? Like, I'm not going to compare anything to it. Because the girls will...
That's a false equivalency.
That's a false equivalency. Mm-mm. If you decided tomorrow that you are a side and yesterday you weren't, then yeah. Similar to Jordan, I would want to unpack that and understand what that looks like. However, it may or may not be something that I'm into. Like, I didn't sign up for that. So if I decide to have the conversation then opt out, then that should be okay, you know? But the compersion aspect of it is interesting because I think I am fine with compersion and seeing my partner be satisfied with someone else. I haven't explored that yet, but it sounds interesting. Yeah. And vice versa. So that's something that I am open to. However, when it comes to that whole side situation, like, I don't know that it's something I would want to my main person to be.
Got it. So you're more open to like your side piece being a side.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that makes
sense. I'm open to that.
Yeah.
So you all liken yourselves to a girl group. Destiny's Child.
The girl group.
Does anyone have any aspirations of going solo?
When I saw this question, I didn't really understand what this meant because we're all individuals. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know if they're talking about like have our own separate podcast, because I feel like we're all going to have our own individual lives and our own individual professional lives. Like I like throughout this process, I feel like, you know, Tony, you've talked about wanting to do more in motivational speaking. Damone, you've talked more like wanting to do more like creative direction and creative consulting. And I see those being avenues that we can pursue separately and still support each other wholeheartedly. So do I feel like, you know, this podcast is going to be like, you know, the only thing that I invest in until I retire in my 60s? No.
Period.
That's the end of my.
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought about like going solo or what have you in a sense of a girl group and like leaving and doing my own album. But when we have our own separate projects, we'll all probably get different opportunities that are the right fit for us in alignment to what we want to do, like what makes our boat float. And Jordan's kind of mentioned some of those things. And I think we will, as those opportunities come, we will have discernment and say like, this is right for me. Or if it's given like, oh, actually Damone or Jordan, like I think we'll pass along opportunities when they aren't right for us. So yeah, that's my take on it. What do you think, Damone?
Same. I mean, I think it's fine. I think there are things that we're good at as individuals that like we can do as individuals. And I think that no individual can do the three of us do in the same way that, mm-hmm, the Destiny's Child album is different than in any individual album. Like, right. That's just a thing.
Exactly. And I have compersion. So if y'all want to do something that makes you happy.
You have no compersion. if you are the least compersive.
I am so compersive. I'm compersive down, bitch. And please, if y'all wanted to do something, I would be wholeheartedly happy for those.
She has been delivered.
Exactly.
What topic from a previous episode or future one do you all have the most differing opinions on?
I know the answer.
I don't know, because I feel like most of the episodes, there's discourse, but, I feel like,
I mean, one comes to mind for me.
I have one that comes to mind.
Y'all go.
Assimilation. I was going to say it's the priority. Assimilation.
I think that's the one where like,
but as a throuple, I don't know what, now that's harder for me. Like what topic that we each,
there's typically been two people on one side of
I don't know if anything's coming to mind where we all three of us had different points of view.
The trade, like, it's all it's always Tony and somebody. Me and Jordan don't agree on anything.
Yes, we do.
What? When has Tony been on we've agreed on something?
I feel like we give me some time. I'll share it on Beyond the Service Level 8
before to stay curious.
Think about it. So You've had your parents on the show. Would you ever have your partners on the show? And what would that conversation be about? Who's having that conversation?
Hello.
I think in time, yes, it would be really interesting to see the three of us have, like, so to go back for context, we've had an episode where we talked about exes in our lives. Mm-hmm. And what that was like. And so I forget what the title of that was. It was, oh, Case of the Ex. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we get to a point where all three of us have healthy relationships and we would want to be a possibility model for people, I think it would be really dope to do. We would have to figure out what that is. Like, we don't just sit here and I don't have an idea on the top of my head about what the conversation would be, but I think there's a conversation to be had with the partners in our lives. So
Sure, why not? I think actually we've toyed around with the idea. I think it's a more interesting conversation to have, like, ex-partners on the show. Like, to me, that would be a more interesting thing.
We've talked about that too.
Or, like, to do, like, two different episodes where it's like ex and current partners, and, like, that to me is an interesting thing. And technically, my partner's been on the show.
Well,
my partner was on the show. The girls don't know who my partner is or what episode they were on.
Right.
But my partner's been on the show.
Okay.
But, like,
don't matter.
I forgot.
Us together. I'm talking about, like,
yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, an episode with all three.
Yeah, it's a little bit too fresh for me, so I'm gonna have to let my partner settle in a little bit before we bring out the
his name. Is you not and Tyler, Tyler still going strong.
His name is not Tyler, but yeah, it's a little bit too soon for us to pull out the cameras and the lights on him just yet. We're gonna let him bake a little bit longer.
Listen, you stay backstage. What was the process and the moment of you deciding on the theme Earth, Wind, and Fire for season 7? And can we get a sneak peek into season 8?
Ooh, I'm gonna let Damon take that one.
I'm constantly thinking about things we can do to make the storytelling of our show more interesting and different from, like, what other shows do. I think it's a skill, like, we all have, like, different skill sets, and, like, that's a skill set that I've developed in my work and in my personal life. And I'm always thinking about that. I have, like, yes, I do have the thing that I think is interesting for next season. But I think in thinking about this season, it was really about, we always go to Beyonce reference. So, like, last season we had this, like, theme of invisibility that we kind of weaved throughout. And I was like, oh, this is like the surprise album. But I was like, what would it mean to do something that was, like, wholly conceptual?
Is this our lemonade?
Yes. That was the thought process. Like, what is something wholly conceptual, tight,
she gets it,
that also represented us as individuals, but, like, worked together as a whole?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I kept going back and forth with. I thought it was cool to shoot the promo images as, like, a high jewelry campaign. Like, that was the reference when we were talking to Laquan, who shot us this season. And, like, often when you look at high jewelry campaigns, Bulgari, like, Mikimoto, whomever else, is typically thin, white women. Mm-hmm. And my thought was just, like, how do you place Black queer bodies in that space and make something equally as beautiful? I won't talk a lot about what I'm thinking for the next season, like, but I am obsessed with the idea of, like, Sankofa, like, looking to the past for the future. I have some ideas around what that could mean in the space and what we do. And I actually have a really cool idea I thought about for season 10, which would be some point next year. But so, like, we got to fill in the blank for 9, but
8 yeah. and 9.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So cool. Sure. I mean, listen, we love coming together. Like, and when we started the show, every episode had a thematic image to go with it.
So we had different music really for fun. Every. We were doing a lot.
Yeah, we did a lot. So if you're new to Surface Level, do your reading. No. But go back, like, really go back and look at the evolution. If you want to see it visually, I think Instagram is the best place to go and kind of see the cascade over the grid. It's really fun. So we have a couple more questions. How has Surface Level impacted you guys socially, i.e. men, sex, relationships? I mean, the girls are quite popular there. No more giving it in the middle of a circuit party floor. Just kidding. That's what they said. But how do you navigate that? Like, how has this platform impacted us across the board?
Who said I'm not giving it in the middle of the floor at the circus party?
Exactly.
Step one. I will snatch you the fuck up on the dance floor. And don't you fucking forget it.
It's a dancing machine.
I'm a dancing machine. I will grab you in the small of your back.
I called you a dancing machine at Poppy Juice and you hollered. I was just like, I said, Mama landed that joke, huh?
But yeah, no, for me, it's always just about like time and place. Like, listen, if y'all see me out and about and I'm in my dancing machine mode, you'd be like, I'm on the podcast. No, that, I'm about like, you're on that podcast. I'm like, not tonight, baby.
The mom becomes Diana Ross.
Aaron was like, you are Diana Ross of Poppy Juice. That's fine. I sweated my hair. That's why I look like this.
So I think with regards to like, the question sounds like they just want to know mostly like about like romantic situations.
Yeah, I mean,
it says, how do you interact in men, public now?
Men, think differently? Men, sex, and relationships.
Right.
But the question said, how has it impacted you socially?
Okay.
With these men.
I'm going to just take that angle. So I was dating for most of the time when the podcast was out. And I felt like there was this one weird instance where I was dating somebody. We had a great connection, but then they started kind of like revealing things about me that I hadn't revealed to them, but they listened to it on the show. And so I was just like, okay, well, I didn't really share that with you yet. I was just like, I was gagged. And it was a lot of that. And that's not the reason why it didn't work out, but it was allegedly. Definitely, no, it wasn't.
And that's enough for you.
It wasn't. But it was definitely kind of like, it's tough sometimes because like, I think that these 30-minute episodes, and if you don't even listen to the episodes and you just look at social media, those 60-second clips is not enough context to truly know who someone is.
No. Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I feel like this podcast sort of like creates this narrow view, but it creates the illusion that you really, really know us as people holistically. And sometimes I feel like it's like working upstream to get people to like see the fullness of you. So I'll say that's been one of the things. The guy that I'm with right now, I asked him to not really like look at the podcast or watch the podcast.
Are you kidding?
The podcast. Yeah. I mean,
no, you're not. No, you're
wait,
not
seriously?
Kidding.
Yeah, I asked him to not watch the podcast or
that's
listen
interesting.
To it. I mean, I'm sure he has, but
I was giving it a girl.
But you know,
is that, kinda, that's like putting a do not touch button.
Well, when we first started dating, I was just I told him about the podcast, but I was just like, you know, I appreciate if you like didn't listen to it or watch it. Like, we're going on dates. I want to like be able to introduce this information to you for the first time. I don't want to feel like you know everything about me. I know nothing about you. It feels like there's an imbalance. Now that we're in a relationship, like, I don't mind if he listens to a show. He came to the live show in New York.
This is interesting. I don't think it's a wrong thing. Yeah, it's just like
it's interesting,
crossed my mind.
Particularly for me, because the podcast and conversations we had was a huge part of the earlier conversations that me and my partner had. It's like we never agree on anything. It's the opposite. Like, literally, I met my partner basically at the same time we started this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the times, like, we do an episode and like, we were not dating, but like getting to know each other during the pandemic, and all we could do was talk. And
yeah.
It's like, you all are doing this thing. It was like, oh, that was an interesting perspective. This is not like, it was an interesting starting point for conversation for us.
Like, I get where Jordan is coming from, in a sense of like, I want you to get to know me through me and not through the show. We talk about a lot of shit on here, and I want you to date me and not surface level the surface level Jordan that you hear on the show, because you can listen to it and then now we on dates and you're like, oh, in this episode you said such a, I don't want like that. That can be like, girl. you be curious and stay curious and come up with your own questions and line of questioning that, and things that you want to know about me on your own, and not like you've had a reference of something that you've listened to now come back to me with, and like kind of you want to unpack that. And it's interesting because my partner was not someone who like listened to the show. He was not a podcast girl. I don't even know if he listens to that, maybe here and there. But that, because that's my experience, I never thought about this new information that Jordan has introduced to the surface level table here. But I think it's an interest. I'm like, now I'm curious. We're going to talk about that over dinner.
We could talk about that over dinner.
Okay. So you mentioned us, Surface Level, wanting to have Kid Fury on the show. And you've had some great guests. Are there any on your wish list?
Well, absolutely Kid Fury. Kid Fury introduced me to podcasts. I don't think I listened to a single podcast before I listened to The Read. Mm-hmm. That was like the very first one.
Me too, probably.
And I was hooked. I had so much to catch up on. I was binging it. And then, no, I'm not going to say it.
What?
What were you going to say?
And oh, the guest you would want?
No, and then I found out that we were living in the same building.
Oh, yeah.
In Harlem.
We lived together.
I know. And I would listen to the podcast, and he would get on the train. I'm like, I'm listening to him right now. I'm like, this is strange, because he's quiet, but I hear his voice in my head. And then we're also walking to the same building, and I want to say hi, but that's crazy to roll up on somebody at the mailbox.
It's not that crazy.
It feels like a threat.
Now people see you all the time. Podcast. It's not crazy.
But in someone's home.
We're walking into the same building.
Though.
But you walk into a lot of buildings. You could have thought he was just going into the same friend.
That's my approach, right? It's like, oh, hey, like, I'm a really big fan of your show. Like, I love listening to The Read or, you know, what have you. I think that's normal. And because he's used to that.
Well, Kid Fury, I was very nervous. And it was a very long time ago, and I didn't say hello, but I'm saying hello now. And I hope the message finds you.
Hi.
Hey.
I don't know if I have anyone on my wish list per se. Like, there's so many, how can I put this? There's interesting people out there in the world, and I want to continue talking to folks who are interesting and come with a point of view and are willing to come on this platform and not just talk about necessarily their project. Like, if you have a project, great, you're going to plug it on the show, but we want to bring you on the show to talk about a specific thing. You might do makeup, but we might want to talk to you about, you know, something completely different outside of that. And I think that's what I'm hoping we can, like, continue to build that niche for ourselves where we bring on guests that are interesting people that do cool shit, but then have a surface level conversation. And when I say that, I mean, like, putting our spin on what we do and what we talk about.
Like, I think perfect example, we had Plant Queen on, who they do their thing, but the conversation was more about wellness and how, like, you can do different things in your life to feed wellness. And I would say that's an example of, like, when we say, like, hey, we're trying to find alignment, it's not just us saying, like, we love or don't love anything you're working on. It's just like, how do we find alignment with topics that we find interesting in that moment?
Exactly.
I do have a list of people I would really love to talk to.
Okay.
Alec Menon. I think they're fucking incredible. Like, one of the most interesting people that I follow, like, anything that they do. Mm-hmm. And they think about the world and interacting with people from such a place of kindness that is so opposite from how I can process people. And I just find them fucking fascinating.
That'd be a great guest.
The CEO of Essence, Carolyn Wanga. After purely seeing that clip of her, I was just like, the one, not the two.
Remember that clip I sent y'all the first time way back when?
Yeah, it was years ago.
And then now.
And I watched it. Was it a TED Talk?
I think it was. It might have been.
Yeah, I watched it.
And then Janelle Monáe.
I'm looking at a thousand versions of myself, and they're all fine as fuck. Christian said we're going to have Janelle on our show.
They are so fucking interesting. Like,
that's a good one.
Smart person, smart human, like, so many versions.
That would be full circle. Who was at the R&B show?
The fashion show
when she performed at Howard.
Mm-hmm. At the fashion show, our freshman year at Howard.
Yeah. That would be full. That would be really full circle. Who else?
That's it. That's my list. I have more, but that was my top of, like, people that maybe we will talk to, maybe we won't, but just, like, people I just fucking find really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. When we have the season eight topics, then I can think about guests, because I need to know what those are first before I figure out.
We have a running list. Yeah. So I'm excited about brainstorming on what that looks like for next season. So finally, this was season 7. And in many instances, the number 7 means completion, a divine fulfillment. And since 2020, what has been the most profound part of our personal journeys with the show?
I don't know if it's, like, really profound, but I think that something that I find to be of the greatest value of doing this show has been the learning process. I think that before this show, I had beliefs. I held on to those beliefs and I didn't routinely challenge them. And I feel like this show forces us to look back on the things that we accepted to be true, the things that we accepted to be normal, the things that we accepted to be right, and really evolve those understandings. And I feel like when we come into this studio and we do these episodes, we're not just coming in here and just talking on a microphone, the first thing that comes up on, you know, in our mind. The process of actually understanding the topic, you like taking care of doing research and figuring out the history of things, makes me so much smarter and so much more open-minded and understanding of the world around me. And I think that this show has helped me be a lot more compassionate to people who don't exist within my homogenous group, whatever that is. Because I feel like New York, in my version of New York, I hang out with a lot of people that are like me, like you, Tony, like you, Damon. And I think that the show is forcing me to sort of branch out and not be so siloed and just have a fuller understanding. So that's something that I feel like is very profound. It's a class. It's a master class in life.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. Learning process is one of the things that I continuously say. I've learned just at an exponentially greater rate or faster rate, mm-hmm, with doing this show. And so that was part of my answer, to be honest. But then the other part, if I wanted to introduce something new that just popped up, is the idea of getting to the other side of freedom. Mm-hmm. Well, the other side of fear. The idea of getting to the other side of fear. When we started this show, I think if you go back, it was 3 years ago, we felt like babies. It was like scared to talk about certain things, or how can we make sure we are addressing this right, or being really careful about like every and like and this and that and the third, and not just allowing ourselves to have a conversation. Like, a lot of people don't know that most of our episodes are recorded and it's minimal editing. It's, mm-hmm, it's almost live to tape, if you will. But I love that we've decided to let go and be fearless. And that's what's profound to me, is what you can do and accomplish when you get to the other side of fear. And in a lot of ways, like our ethos of this show and what we do, I'm watching those things shape us and come to life and mold us. And we're like, people who have been to the studio and they watch us in action, they're like, wow. They sit back and they're like, y'all are, and I don't know if it's the whole thing is part of it, but I don't know what that is, but there's a lot of growth there. And I want to definitely give us our flowers. I try to be present, and like, we're doing this show. It's not something that's going to be like for the rest of our lives, but while we're doing it, I want to be in it. And I want to remind us to continuously stay in it, because it's happening. We're helping to really create queer history. This is Black queer history going on, and we're a part of it. I really do feel that. And, you know, I'm giving us our flowers, and that's what I'm going to say.
I think I've just learned a lot about the power of words and how fine-tuning a thought and communicating it in a way that is useful to others, and not just myself. I think that a lot of, on this show, I've talked about healing from domestic violence, talked about grief, I've talked about relationships, familial, platonic, friendships, and all these things that I have to get through my own healing first, and then find a way to say something that hopefully, and I go back to what we said when we started this, that can be meaningful to at least one person somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that in being able to use our words and our voices and our experiences and being able to communicate them in a way that maybe one person that listens to each episode can find meaningful in their lives has been something that has like even further aided me in my own personal healing. It's kind of an exchange, I would say. Mm. So that's been the thing that I've really found beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. And with that, that's all the time we have this season. We'd like to give a big thanks to all of our amazing guests that we had. Jared Denzel Keller, our parents, Tony Major, my father, Miss Teresa and Miss Annette, Jordan and Damon's mothers, Joe Morris, Micah Marquez and Chuck Hughes, Tabitha Gonzalez, Ebony K. Williams, and LBO Jones. You all really brought the earth, wind, and fire to the table this season for us. And if you've enjoyed this season, let's keep the conversation going. Let us know your thoughts and opinions and questions and everything else you can think of at surfacelevelpodcast.com. And for the last time this season, remember, stay curious.